Your Stuart, it's just magic. It's
It
absolute
is.
magic. It's magic. Right. So, what we're going to be learning is the introduction to the Zohar. That's actually what we're going to be learning. It's an introduction which Rabbi Ashlag wrote to his great work, the Perusha Sulam, which was the commentary which he wrote on the Zohar itself. And he wrote several introductions, in fact, to the Zohar and to the Perusha Sulam. And very surprisingly, this introduction, which he calls the Introduction to the Book of the Zohar, doesn't talk about Sefirot, and it doesn't talk about angels, and it doesn't talk about worlds. What it talks about is what are we? It talks about what is the human being? That's what it actually talks about. He asks the fundamental question, what is the human being? What are we? What is this very, very special, incredible creation that is a human being? And so his very first question he asks is, what is our essence? And he looks throughout this whole introduction, he looks at that question. What are we? Because we are both positive and negative. We have both good and evil. We have both. And so he looks at that. And what's really interesting is he writes is that the whole of the Zohar is actually just written for the sake of the souls, for us, for human beings. So what's discussed in the Zohar is only as regards like other worlds and other spiritual entities, is only for us to understand ourselves. And this is why he wrote this incredible introduction. So as we learn it, we'll learn more about ourselves, what we are, and we'll also learn why we're here. Why are we here on this planet? What are we here to do? And he goes into a lot of detail. Now, many of the ideas that he brings up are ideas that we've all thought about. It's not new, some of these questions that we've asked. We've got to Rabbi Ashlag because we've asked these questions. Okay? But we need to be open-minded. We need to have an empty space for him to talk to us. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if we've got previous answers, we won't be able to hear what he's actually saying. So one of the things that I like to do is like to just try to imagine that when I come to this material for the first time, and each time, I put my previous ideas somewhere in the corner. Just leave them alone for a while and try to make myself as open as I can to hearing what Rabbi Ashlag himself is saying. Right, it's what the Zen people call beginner's mind. It's a very useful idea that we come back as fresh and open-minded to hear what Rabbi Ashlag is saying. And then at the end of the lesson, afterwards, we can sort of like pick up our ideas and integrate them and bring it all together within ourselves during the week. And each time we come, again, we come open-minded to hear what Rabbi Ashlag is saying rather than putting our own views in there. All right, and that's what really the most important thing that I want to say. As we learn, we'll discover that the learning is very spiral. We learn a concept at a certain level, and then we'll kind of like relearn it again at another level, and relearn it again at another level. And in that way, it's actually very much like life. That's how life works. We have, very much an experience and we don't understand it. And then we have a similar thing and a similar thing. We go round and round on this spiral. And the learning is very much mimics life. So we won't, in fact, necessarily understand everything we learn at the time. But we'll have patience because we'll learn it again in a different way, in a different perspective. And that way we build up what with eventually will become within us a very beautiful tapestry within ourselves. Lovely. Very, very, very good. All right. So we're going to start with lesson one, Questions on the Nature of God. And this is paragraph one from the Introduction to the Zohar. Rabbi Ashlag opens the Introduction to the Zohar with questions that touch us all. These are questions that concern the nature of reality and the purpose of our lives. The answers to these questions form the rest of this work. In this first lesson, we shall try and understand the questions that Rabbi Ashlag asks, just as they are. Although we may already have ideas concerning these issues, it is important to refrain from giving our own answers, as this interferes with our ability to relate to what Rabbi Ashlag is saying. A good approach to adopt is one of an open heart and an open mind, enabling us to truly hear what Rabbi Ashlag has to teach. Now, the whole question, what is a question? All right? So as a funny question, it's a funny thing to start off with, but it's really important. What is a question? A question is a vessel, all right, through which we can relate to the light which comes. The light is the wisdom. Okay? Now, if you're given a whole load of information, but you have no question about it, you don't even relate to it. It just goes in one ear and doesn't even bother to go to the other ear. It just drifts past you. When you've got a question and it's your question, you're like all ears. You say, oh my gosh, this is so important. I really want to know the answers to this. Do you see what I'm saying? A question, when we have our own question and it's an important question to us, then we're really interested to know what that light is going to teach us. So Rabbi Ashlag actually starts his Introduction to the Zohar with a whole series of questions. In fact, lesson one and lesson two are entirely questions. The first one, the first lesson is questions on the nature of God. And the second one is questions on the nature of reality, on the nature of creation. And it just starts off with questions. And what we need to do with these questions is to see how far and in what way these are my questions. Okay? So first, we're going to look at what Rabbi Ashlag means by the question. And then we're going to look and see how does this relate to me. Okay? We begin with the first paragraph. Introduction to the Zohar. In this introduction, I would like to clarify some seemingly simple matters. These are issues with which everyone... Okay, somebody got a thingamajig? Don't worry. You'll forget. Okay. All right, it stopped off. That's okay. In this introduction, I would like to clarify some seemingly simple matters. These are issues with which everyone is to some extent involved, and much ink has been spilt in the effort to clarify them. Despite this, we have not arrived at a sufficiently clear understanding of them. And the first question we would like to ask is, what is our essence? Okay. So the first thing we need to ask ourselves is, what does Rabbi Ashlag mean by the word essence? Because after all, I might mean something, and Tzipporah might mean something else, and Laurie might have a different understanding, and then we're all going to go off in all sorts of different directions. So what we need to ask is, what is our essence? What does Rabbi Ashlag mean by the word essence? The Hebrew for essence is mahut. Now, Rabbi Ashlag defines the term essence in a different essay called the Mavol Zohar, which is a different introduction to the Zohar called Prologue to the Zohar. We need to study now the four different ways we use to think about things. These are matter, form that is enclosed in matter, abstract form, and essence. I shall first explain them in connection with things that appear to the senses in this world. For example, when we talk about a warrior or a sincere person or a liar, we have his matter, which is his body, B, the form that is clothed in his matter, which is his bravery, his truth or his falsehood, C, abstract form, that is it possible to abstract the idea of being brave or of being true or of being false from the matter of the man, and understand these three forms as they are in themselves as abstract virtues, not clothed in any matter or body. That is, we may conceive of the qualities of bravery, of veracity, or of falsehood, and be able to discern in them positive and negative values when they're abstracted from any matter. And D, the essence of the man. Okay, so let's just stop looking at the book and let's consider what we've just said. All right? Mama Ashlag wants to know, what is our essence? So, okay, what could it be? Let's have a think. Is it my body? If we touch our body, is that our essence? What do you feel about that? Anybody want to say something?
I don't know that that would be considered essence. I don't know, essence. I don't know, for me it comprises more like of inward.
Yes.
I think, which I mean, I know is part of the body, but it's not, I don't know, because it's like our bodies are more of a house.
Yes.
For us. So yes. It's basically what's inside of our house. I guess it's the only way that I can describe it.
That I can very much relate to. What about you, Tipor? How do you feel about your body? Do you feel your body is your essence?
I also have a different definition of essence. Can you hear me?
Yeah, beautifully.
I think of my essence. I know my essence is light. It's light and it's energy, and it can take on a form, but it's really light and energy, and the rest of it is not me.
Right. So, okay, very good. I mean, if I think about my body, why do I really feel that it's not my essence? Is because it changes. I mean, I feel that I'm me, and I've always felt that I'm me, however old I am. But I started off being, you know, a small baby, and then I grew taller, and then I grew more sideways, and then ultimately my body will die. But I don't feel that the me is going to die. I feel that that essence that is me is not going to die. I feel that it is eternal, and I feel that. So therefore, I'm quite clear that it is not my body. Okay? So let's have another look. Let's have a look at what he says. He says, there are four different ways we use to think about things. These are A, matter. Okay? So he says that the matter is the body. So we're quite clear that is not the essence. All right? He says, right, another thing it could be, the form that is clothed in matter, which is a person's, he said, his bravery, his truth, or his falsehood. In other words, personality.
Middle.
Is our personality our essence? Well, I don't think so either. For the same reason that I said earlier, because it changes. You remember the story of Scrooge? You know, A Christmas Tale of Dickens, Scrooge that miser, and on Christmas, you know, his heart melted and he became generous. Or you have the story by Oscar Wilde of the Selfish Giant. Do you remember the story of the Selfish Giant? Remember the story where he's this awful selfish giant and he's got this garden and his garden is always winter. And it's spring everywhere else, but it's only winter there because he's selfish and he won't let the children come in and play in his garden. And then somebody makes a hole in the wall and the little children come in and suddenly the spring comes and the selfish giant becomes a friendly giant. Okay, so these are folk stories which have an essence of truth in them, and that is that a personality can change. Now, even if we start off as miserly or mean or miserable, we can change that. We're not stuck with it forever. So a personality can change also. So from this, we can also see a personality is not a person's essence. Abstract form. You can abstract different aspects of personalities, like, for example, the idea of being brave, or of being true, or of being false. from the body of a person, like understand these forms as abstract virtues. Now, what does that mean? Do you remember the French Revolution? They had the motto, liberty, fraternity, equality, as abstract virtues. But these abstract ideas are not the essence of anything either. In fact, when we see how people try to act according to abstract virtues, they are so destructive. You get these, you know, these whole philosophies based on, you know, these words of humanitarians, whatever, and you get things destructive like communism or, you know, or the French Revolution, which went around lopping people's heads off. So abstract ideas, which you abstract from what people see in personalities, abstract virtues is not the essence of a person either. So basically, Rav Ashlag is ruling out all these different ideas. The essence, our essence is not our body. It is not our personality. It is not some abstract quality like truth or falsehood or bravery. It's none of these. It's something else. Okay? So if we look at what is the essence of a person, I'm going to read from page 18 where it says, and you should know. Okay? That's the next bit. You got that bit?
Yes.
Great. You too, Tzipora?
Pardon?
I'm going to read from where it says, and you should know.
Okay.
Okay, great. And you should know that as regards the fourth characteristic, which is the essence of the man as he is in himself, without matter, we have no conception of it whatsoever. Our five senses and our imagination can only show us the actions of the essence, but cannot reveal to us anything of the essence as it is in itself. Our own essence itself, or what it consists of, is completely unknown to us. I feel and know that I take up a place in the world. I'm solid, I'm hot, and I think, which are some manifestations of the actions of my essence. But if you were to ask me, what is my essence, myself, from which all these manifestations come, I would not know how to answer you. Behold, the divine providence has withheld from us the ability of conceiving of any essence. We are able to grasp only overt actions, manifestations or images of actions which come forth from essences. Aha. Vita has just come online. Let me call her. Why won't it work? I can't understand. Hello? No, I can't join her in. This is so peculiar. She tried to call me, but if I... Oh dear, I've never had this happen before. Do you mind if I switch everybody off and call everybody again?
All right. Not at all.
Okay, you get this the first time we have a group until everything sorts itself out. Okay, Tippy, I'm going to switch you off and try calling you again, okay?
Me?
Everybody.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Oh, fine.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you're there.
Sorry about that. I couldn't connect.
Yeah, it can happen. It's okay. Don't worry. I saw that you weren't online, and I tried to call you a few times. There was some problem. I'm not quite sure why. There's Tippy again, and here's Vita, and here's Laurie. And we are all together, so this is wonderful at last. Sometimes it happens like that. What can you do? Okay, so let us just introduce each other. So Tippy and Laurie. Tippy's from Indiana, that's right?
Right.
And Laurie, I have no idea where you're from. Where were you from?
I came from Florida.
Florida, okay. And Vita is now in Toronto. But she's originally from the Ukraine. And we're all
Yes, I
beginning,
am originally, yes.
yeah, from the Ukraine. And we are all just beginning together. So this is wonderful. None of us have ever learned the material before. So we will learn together. And I'll just catch you in, Vita, to tell you what we did. It's very frustrating when Skype doesn't work. I really understand your feelings. And I was so hopeful
Yes.
that you were able to, I'm very grateful you were able to join us. So what we discussed, yeah, Vita.
I just want to say that I will probably work on my network connection. I will try to make sure that it's improved from home.
Oh, don't worry, my love. Yes, these things happen. It's
a
always,
problem to be.
Yeah, it always happens. The first few lessons till everybody gets organized is always a bit of a mess with the technical things. So don't worry. I recorded the lesson, so I can give you the recording of what we learned, so you didn't miss anything.
And I just wanted to say
thank
hello,
you very much.
Victoria. They look forward to learning
Hello.
With you every week. I'm Sipora.
Hello. Nice to meet you, Sipora.
And hi, I'm Lori, and I look forward to
I'm
learning
very
with
happy.
All of us together.
That's beautiful.
I'm very happy that we have a group. I am really, really happy to join a group. I was always hopeful that I would be able to end up. Right, and just started, and I'm very hopeful.
This is beautiful. We are so grateful that God puts us together. It's really lovely. Let me just catch you in what we did. We just started the very, very first question that Rabbi Ashlag asks in his introduction. And he asks the question, what is our essence? And he looks at, is it our body? No, it's not our body. Is it our personality? No, it is not our personality. Is it some abstract virtue like fraternity or equality or any of these things? No, it is not an abstract virtue. In fact, he says, we have no idea what our essence is. We know that we're solid and we're hot and we think, but these are manifestations of the actions of our essence. But of our actual essence, our self, from which all these manifestations come, we do not have any ability of conceiving of it. We can only grasp overt manifestations or images of actions which come forth from essences. That's a very fascinating idea. It's like, in a way, if we think about the soul, what we can only receive from the soul or imagine of the soul is some action of the soul. We can't have any direct conception of the soul itself. And in the same way with God, we know God through things that happen to us. But of God himself, we have no direct perception. So we actually don't have the ability of conceiving of any essence, is what he says. We only know the actions of essences. It's going to look into this in slightly different language later on in the introduction. So if we go back to, we're on page, if we go back to page 17, okay, we just were on page 18. If we go back to page 17 and we look in where it says the very first question, it says in the first question we would like to ask is, what is our essence? So Rabbi Ashlag, when he asks that question, he's asking, what is that aspect of ourselves which we know we have, but we cannot know directly? We can only know through some manifestations of its actions. Like, for example, how would our soul manifest to ourselves? We might get an intuition. Some people get intuitions. How do you feel your soul manifests? Do you get a still small voice or an intuition? There's lots of different ways when we think about it. How does the soul manifest? How does our deepest essence manifest to us? Anybody want to contribute? Zippy, we were just discussing that we can't sense the soul directly, but it does, we do sense its actions. So I for myself, I call it my sort of like an inner listening. I sort of listen to that inner voice. How do you feel? Anybody?
I feel that soul is something which drives internally our life, if you wish, our desire to live, which is
yes
the base of all our, it's a motivation of all our thoughts and actions and everything. I mean, I think that when people get depressed, for instance, and depressed to the point where they don't want to live anymore, this is a manifestation where the soul is giving up. The light of life is giving up. And this is something profoundly important, probably.
That is beautiful because it's true.
And our generation. And yes, so this is how I feel what soul is. And maybe conscious is a part of our consciousness What you call consciousness is a part of our soul.
I think that the word Chaim in Hebrew, life, is very much, when we pray for on Rosh Hashanah, on the Jewish New Year, when we pray for life, what we're really praying for is that connection with the soul, because the soul and the life, that's a beautiful understanding of our essence, that our essence is the basis of our life. And when we pray for life on Rosh Hashanah, we're actually praying for the connection with the source of all our life, the life of our lives, which is the soul, which is the God within us. So that's beautiful, Vita. Thank you so much. Very nice. I think also in the same way, some people express the manifestation of the soul for them is through creativity. Other people, it's through helping others and empathy with others. For other people, it's the connection of the soul with the soul is through Torah. There are many, many, many ways, and it's very, very unique and individual how the soul reveals itself to us. But it doesn't reveal its essence. The essence of the soul is not knowable to us directly, only the way in which it manifests. Okay? Now, Rav Ashlag is going to actually discuss the soul and what it is and how we relate to it and how it develops within us for most of the rest of the introduction of this book. But at the moment, all he asks is, what is our essence? And now he's going to go on to a different question. Okay? Now, would somebody else like to read? Tippy, do you like reading? Tippy? Hello?
Hello?
Do you like reading? Would you like to read the next bit for us?
Ask the question one more time, please.
Would you like to read? Do you like reading? Would you like to read the next bit for us?
Okay. Would I like to read? Rabbi Ashlag writes in his work, Hakdama Lepani Miro.
No, not from there. It's just the one before. We proceed to his second question.
So we proceed to the second question.
Right.
Our second question is, what is our role as part of the long chain of reality of which we are such little links? We need to consider two aspects of this question. One, what is the long chain of reality? And two, how are we links in it?
Okay, great. Okay, that's it. So now he's going to ask us a very different question, okay? He said, what is our purpose? What is our role of part of the long chain of reality of which we are such little links? So again, we need to think about, what does he mean by reality? Okay? In what way are we part of the long chain of reality? And how does this link that we are in it, how does it manifest? How does it work? Now, Rav Ashlag wrote, to every one of his major works, he wrote an introduction, okay? And in a different book called the Hatamala Panim Yirot Umazbirot, which is the introduction to the Welcoming and Illuminating Revelations. It's a book which deals with the work of the Ari. He wrote about Adam and Eve. And what he wrote was that consequent to Adam and Eve eating from the tree of knowledge, the one eternal soul that they had in the Garden of Eden left them. And instead, this soul split up and became all the souls that make up the human community, past, present, and future. So that each of us forms a part of the one original eternal soul that God created and gave to Adam and Eve.
Question.
Yay!
I heard that before Adam was created, that all the animals agreed to give a part of their essence to Adam. So he could be familiar with all of them and really knew all of them from the term Das, knew. He knew him intimately, not physically, but intimately. Mm-hmm. And so is that part of the one eternal soul? So is our soul more than just a human soul? Is it also the whole of creation soul?
Yes. I think what you must have heard is a midrash. And that midrash expresses the fact that the soul, the human soul, is composed of all aspects of the inanimate, the plant, the animal, and the human, and the speaking aspect. So the human soul is definitely made up of all those aspects. Indeed it is. Okay? And that has a great consequence for us. And we will learn about that and how the human soul is made, what it's actually made up of, and those different elements further on. I think it comes about lesson 10 or 11 in the book. Yeah, that's true. And what Rav Ashlag is interested in here is the fact that God created one soul. One soul. That's all he created, one eternal soul, which he gave to Adam. And Adam and Eve at that time was one. Okay, so he gave it to the creature called Adam. But when he ate from the tree of knowledge, and that was meant to happen, and Eve did exactly right when she ate from the tree of knowledge, she didn't make any mistakes. She knew exactly, she did exactly the right thing. It was all organized by God, that what was going to happen was going to happen. That one soul split into all the souls that make up the human community, the past, the present, and the future. This is a remarkable idea. Because what it means is that we are all one in our ultimate essence. It's extraordinary. We're not the same, but we join together to make one soul. Okay, now we're going to read the piece, the excerpt itself from that introduction. And in order to understand the following excerpt, we need to know that receiving for ourselves alone separates us from the Creator. Now, what that actually means, it means that when I'm only interested in myself, I'm only interested in taking for myself, and I'm not interested in giving to anybody, I'm just interested in my own selfishness, I'm separated from God. Okay? Why that is so, we learn next time. Right now, we just need to know that if I only receive for myself alone, I'm separated from God. This type of receiving originates from the very beginning of creation at a stage known as the Tzimtzum. And concerning this, we'll learn subsequently. Now, when we learn Rabbi Ashlag, we're going to have a lot of patience because he brings in words we haven't yet already learned. And we're going to learn the same ideas many times. So even if it happens that we don't understand something, of course we can ask. And also we don't need to panic because we'll learn about it again in any case. Okay. So far, so good.
May I ask one question?
Sure.
I always was wondering when I was reading about Tree of Knowledge. It has this negative connotation that, and it's called Tree of Knowledge, which I believe actually exists. So Tree of Knowledge exists, and the connotation is we shouldn't actually eat, or we shouldn't aspire to get into that direction. Why is that?
That's a beautiful question. And in fact, your question is actually also appears in the Zohar. It's an incredible question. The Tree of Knowledge is the light of God, okay, which comes to us. And as we're going to learn, if we just take that light of God, that wisdom from God, directly, using it for ourselves alone, we become separated from God. Now, we can see this in our lives, in our own world. When people take wisdom without joining with it to any sort of ethics, we end up with nuclear weapons. We end up with people wanting to destroy each other, wanting to destroy the world. Because knowledge on itself, in itself, and the pursuit of knowledge just for the knowledge itself, ends up as a great ego thing. And the human beings have developed knowledge now, and the pursuit of knowledge to such a degree that we can now destroy the world, God forbid, in so many ways, so many times over. Nuclear power, holes in the ozone layer, genetic engineering. It's just mind-boggling how much we can take that knowledge and use it in a negative way, and then we can see how separate we get from the Creator. And the Creator is all good and all giving and all loving. And how we could, God forbid, even destroy his world. So knowledge in itself, just as it is in itself, is a two-handled sword. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. Now, Rav Ashlag teaches, and this is what part of what we're going to be learning here, is that when we take that knowledge and just use it for ourselves alone, we become separated from God. If we were to do the work of ethics and compassion and basically what comes under the connotation, under the term of Torah and mitzvot, then that knowledge can be transformed and used for good. So the tree of knowledge in itself is not evil. But it's like itself, like the name is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. There's a choice there. All right.
Thank you.
That's a very good question. Okay. So from this, you may understand the severity of the consequence that followed the eating from the tree of knowledge, when all human beings became destined for mortality. This is the death resulting from the eating of which God forewarned Adam. On the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. And the matter is, there was drawn into Adam's and Eve's limbs a huge form of receiving for oneself alone. This form of receiving came from the Chalal HaPanoi, empty space, which is the primal vessel of receiving. This Chalal HaPanoi is the uncorrected vessel. It receives for itself alone. That came into being following the Tzimtzum, contraction, an initial event in the evolution of the spiritual worlds. Subsequent to the Tzimtzum, the highest light cannot abide together with such a vessel. Therefore, the eternal soul, which is described explicitly in the scripture, as "and God blew into his nostrils the soul of life," had to leave Adam. And thus the life of the human being became temporal, dependent on a piece of bread. This life is not eternal life. Unlike Adam's former life, that was intended to be in the form of one soul, human life became in comparison like little sweat drops of life. That is to say, Adam's former life split into myriad droplets, such that every single drop is one part of his former life. Thus comes about the matter of the sparks of souls that are shared out among the generations of the entire human community. All the generations of the human community, until the last generation, which completes the purpose of creation, form an array of one great chain. In this way, the work of God, may the one be blessed, is not changed at all by the sin of the tree of knowledge, where that light of life that existed in its entirety in the first human is now drawn out to form a great continuous chain. This great chain revolves unceasingly on the wheel of myriad forms until the end of the tikkun, the rectification of creation, because the works of God are of necessity, living and enjoying, and we go up in holiness and not down. Understand this very well. Now, there was a lot of information there, so we're going to take it very slowly. Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So, sorry about that. I know I shouldn't slow down.
No, I think it's wonderful. I like the questions. I mean, you know, Tippy and Laurie, feel free also.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I'm happy to hear questions.
I like to have questions I wouldn't have thought of myself so I can learn more aspects. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm happy. Go for it, Vita. Off you go. Vita, would you? Yeah.
Thank you, Vita. If you all are, if our soul is one, anyway, it's one soul, and we are all connected, that we are all interconnected. I believe somewhere inside ourselves, we always felt this way. But the question becomes, if we are all moving forward, and we are, there is an evolution, and how come we have sometimes see such people which is almost impossible to kind of find any good in? I mean, if we are all evolving, why we still...
Oh, that's a marvelous...
...still see all the examples of... I just don't know. I understand that I have to think about them as I just don't see the good in them. The good still exists, but I don't...
Nobody does. I mean,
see,
yeah.
But anyway, after so many generations, why as a humanity we haven't moved forward really dramatically in terms of our spiritual development?
Well, what can I tell you?
But this is what
I
feel.
I totally understand. I mean, you know, you've got this Iranian madman. I mean, this Iranian president or prime minister, whoever he is, I can't even say his name because I don't want to, who's trying to figure out a way to destroy all the Jews. And you'd think, you know, now in this day and age, I mean, it's madness. it's completely mad, or you've got or the dreadful people who are going around beheading people in the Middle East, or Hamas or Hezbollah. I mean, or what's happening in the Ukraine. I mean, you have you. The question is so clear. It's such an important question, and I think that what we're going to come to understand is that the word God hides his goodness in order to give human beings a choice. And in fact, the word for the world in Hebrew is olam, ayin vav lamed mem. I can send that on the instant messages. Where's my instant messages gone? Here it is. Okay. So if we look at it, olam, my glasses. Okay, that means the world. Okay, now this word, elem, yeah, because it's almost the same word, means hidden. Okay, so the world means that God is hidden. God hides in the world. And why does he hide his own goodness and hide his own, the goodness is so enable people to come to a choice. And everybody has to make this own choice. And we find elements that don't choose or choose the negative. And we'll see, we'll learn why they're doing that. Now, the good thing about that is that because we are all one soul, it means that we can influence things. We're going to learn how the fact that we're all one soul means that when we do our inner work and work on our positive sides and let go of our negative sides, even if they, you know, even if they're not so bad, we are helping all the other people in the world come to their positive sides and letting go of their negative sides. So in fact, that we see some wonderful positive people in the world and some absolutely disaster, ghastly people, appalling people, is only a reflection of actually what is inside every single one of us. And so by working on our positive sides, we are able to influence the world so that the positive people have more influence and the negative people have less and less power. And this is actually a question which Rabbi Ashak himself brings up in lesson 18. Okay? So this is a wonderful question and a very real question, which I think we are faced with exactly now. An amazing question. So, yeah.
I have just a quick question, Yadira. We're talking about the chalal panoi, is, you know, the uncorrected vessel. Is that like, you know, things like in us, like we get in the way of ourselves,
yes.
I think is the only way I can describe it, basically. Yeah. You know, through like, through selfishness and things that we want just for ourselves,
yes.
Like, and basically are closed off.
Yes.
To receiving anything else.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So really then in just correcting the vessel is really being open to change.
Very much so. So, I mean, my question that I had about this when I first, before I came to Rabbi Ashlag, was why do I have a Yetzer Hara in me in the first place? I mean, if God wanted me to be good and kind and compassionate and all those things, why did he make me that I could also have anger and hatred and resentment and all the negative qualities that I could see very clearly that I had? And I felt quite annoyed with God, I have to tell you, about all this, because I thought to myself, well, if you want me to be good, why didn't you just make me good? Why didn't you just create me as good? Why did you create me with a negative inside of me? And so where did all this negative come from? And at the time, I was also interested in looking at, you know, Buddhism and other isms. And they all said, you know, these are your enemies. you know, lust and anger and desire and all these different things. These are all your enemies. But never and nobody, only Judaism, and it was only in Rabbi Ashag that anybody actually ever asked, explained to me why I have these enemies in the first place. And that we're going to get in lesson three. Okay, why do we have the negative? What is it there for? Now, it has an origin, okay? And that origin is what he calls the halal panoi, the empty space. It's the original vessel where the light does not come into it. It's empty. And why is it empty? Because it's receiving for itself alone. And this came into being following the Tzimtzum, which means a very primal event in the spiritual world. And following that, the highest light of God cannot be together with a vessel that's only receiving for itself alone. And what happened when Eve ate from the apple was she took into herself this huge vessel of receiving. She took into herself this aspect of the tree of knowledge. Because what is the fruit of a tree? It's got the essence of the tree within herself. So she within it, and so she took into herself this apple. She ate it, and the idea of eating is that you eat something, you chew on it, and all the essence that it is then becomes a part of your own makeup. So she actually took from the tree of knowledge, and that vessel for the light of God actually became part of herself. And then she had within herself both good and evil. She had both. And the evil that was there was in conflict with the soul that she had originally been given. And then that had to flee. And the same thing she gave to Adam as well. So she took that apple, she gave it to him as well. And they both took it within themselves, and that vessel for both good and evil, came part of them. And that, but the evil side was in conflict with the light, and therefore the soul had to leave. Now,
I have a comment.
Yeah.
I was reading over Shabbos. Some Devar Torahs, and one of them talked about why we ate bitter herbs at Pesach,
yes,
at Passover, and it said that we needed to internalize the bitterness that we experienced or our ancestors experienced into us and integrate it with us so that we could be whole. And that we also would have an appreciation for the contrast of where we are now and the bitterness that we had experienced prior. So and this kind of reminds me of the same thing, because Eve internalized, or Chava internalized, the knowledge of good and evil, and the whole idea of our creation is to integrate all of it and make us whole.
We have to, exactly, but we have to do the work, you see. And it's like when she was in the Garden of Eden, before they ate the apple, they didn't have that choice facing them. They were just in the good, okay? They could serve God through good. They didn't have that choice. And what did Eve actually see? What was it that, why was it that she ate the apple? What was important to her? Why did she actually eat the apple? Why was it important to her? Because she understood that God, nothing that God created goes to waste. Everything that he created is ultimately good. And so she said, this tree, which is in the middle of the garden and we're told not to eat from it, is also ultimately good. And my role in this garden is to look after the garden and keep the garden. What does that mean? It means I have to transform this tree only for the good. So her intention when she ate from the tree of knowledge was actually to transform it for the good. But what happened was, and that's why she gave it to Adam and Adam ate also. This is the explanation is from Rabbi Ashlag. And then, but what happened was that when they ate from the apple, they felt within themselves this tremendous desire for receiving. Huge desire for receiving, colossal, for receiving for themselves alone. And it was so big that there was no way that they could correct that for the sake of giving. There was no way that they could bring that to be one with the Creator. It was too huge for them. And so they then ate again, and this time, the second time, it was in sin. So what was happened in the Garden of Eden was actually meant to have happened. And that's why the woman is said to have had the greater understanding. She's called Bina Yetira. She has greater understanding. She has greater Bina because she actually understood why they were there. And so all this was meant to have happened. They were meant to have ate from the apple and taken it into themselves. Okay? It was meant to have happened. And now we've got a situation where that one eternal soul could not correct that amount of evil. So it's split into all the human souls. And just as before we go, I'll tell you a little story about that, which appears in one of Rabbi Ashlag's books. And then we'll look at this question again next week. He said, imagine a king and he's got a great treasure. And he wants to send his treasure to his son who lives overseas. But he has a bit of a problem. And his problem is that every single person in his kingdom is a thief. So if he sends his treasure overseas directly, that it's not going to work. The thief is just, they're all going to thieve it. They're all going to steal it. So what does he do? He divides up his treasure into tiny little agurot, tiny little pennies. Okay? Now, his kingdom might be made up of thieves, but nobody's going to risk being hanged or being thrown into prison for one penny. Okay? So by dividing up his treasure into penny after penny after penny after penny, that way, eventually, he will get all his treasure overseas to his son safely. In the same way, God took that one soul of Adam and split it up into all the millions and billions of souls of mankind. Okay? And that way, we can do the tikkun. We can do the correction of this, of that one soul. As a whole, it's too much for us. But as individuals, we can manage the little bit that we've been given to deal with. Every single person can work on their own little penny of work they've given to do. And that eventually gets to its goal and gets to connection with God. And everybody just goes around and we reincarnate and reincarnate until we get our little bit of soul corrected and in the right place. It's a beautiful parable.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
It's very powerful.
That's huge.
Thank you so much, Yedida.
Wow.
Thank you.
This has been amazing.
I'm so glad.
Absolutely amazing.
I'm so glad.
This is really enlightening.
You're all very, very, very welcome. I made a recording. I hope it worked. I don't have, you know, huge expectations of my of everything, but let's hope it worked. And if it did, I'll put it up on the website and send you a link, and you can go over it, you know, and listen to it again during the week if you want to. All right, it's not obligation. That it's out there for you. If you want it, it's there for you. Okay, and Vita, you'll probably want that the first half at least. Because
yes.
You missed the first half.
Well, I'd like to listen to it again because there's just
There's so
so
much there, isn't
much,
there?
for to grasp, and I might grasp something else when I listen to it
I'm
again,
telling you,
even more so.
I feel for myself that every time I learn this material, it's for me, it's new again. It's something else again. It's incredible. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, yisher koach gadol. Well done, everybody. Thank you very, very much. Lovely.
Todaraba.
Thank you. Okay, take care.
Thank
You're
you very
very
much.
welcome. Have a
Thank
good
you.
week.
Todaraba. Just one
Sure,
little
Victor.
question. Do you feel that my voice disappears? Because I feel that your voice is disappearing all the time. But I'm just trying to test my
It might be better.
connection and understand. Do I really?
We might get a better connection. Sippy and Laurie were both on video this time. And I could hear everybody fine. But it might be better if for Vita, if we just did audio next time. I like seeing your lovely faces, but it might be better for her because the internet connection will probably work better. Okay,
Yep,
no
that's
problem.
fine.
No
Not a
problem
problem at
at
all.
all. Okay, very good, Vita. Yeah, we'll go on. We'll remind us next week and we'll
Yeah,
go on to
thank you.
audio.
Sorry about that. I'm really happy to meet you
Yeah,
all.
it's lovely
Thank
to.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Happy to meet you.
lovely. Very good. Okay, Vita, take care. Bye, love.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Vita, do you want to
Yes.
try and see what happened that you couldn't connect? I don't know why you couldn't connect earlier. I was trying to call you.
I couldn't, yeah, I couldn't even send you a message. No, but there's my husband. We were discussing that we need to invite somebody to check our connection and improve it because we are working from home sometimes and we have similar problems. So
So it's something with your machine. Yeah,
it's on my side,
yeah.
most likely.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Or maybe I have to, I will address this problem. I hope that I will be able to address it by the next
I hope so. Don't worry too much. At the
next
beginning,
lesson.
there's
And
always, yeah.
not I
It,
yeah.
it's it's quite it's quite common that at the very beginning, the first couple of sessions, people have difficulties with their equipment. Because it's an interaction of four different
But I will
computers.
go
It's
forward and I will
amazing.
read. Yeah, I will continue to read, and I do read all the time, and so I am always kind of
That's beautiful.
in the context of the discussion.
Beautiful, beautiful. I loved your questions. Please keep asking your questions.
I will. Thank you
Yeah,
very much.
please. I think they are good.
At some point, I will hug you, but I just want to
I
hug
want to
you.
hug you too. I feel the questions are important for the others as well. And I hope that they also will start to ask more questions. I really do. It was everybody's first time. So actually your second time, but for the others it was their
Yes.
first. So there, I think maybe, it takes time for everybody to get used to it. But I really, really love the people, and I really love hearing the questions. For me, they are wonderful. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you too,
Thank you
Vita.
very
Have a
much.
lovely week.
And you too.
Very good.
Have a wonderful
Thank you.
week.
Okay. Bye then.
And what is left is Sunday.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.